The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of the Paul Spiteri and Jerry Whipler Show.
Hey, Paul.
Sunday, April 30th, live from West Babylon. Sponsored tonight by Amity Ales, Bunker Ales, and Corey's Ale House. Jerry will talk a bit about our sponsors in a second. But before we get started, Jerry, it's a lot to talk about tonight. First thing we're talking about is our guest who should be joining us in a couple of minutes, Mr. Steve Summers, the Schmoozer.
Couldn't be more excited.
Yeah, for
the schmooze.
From somebody we've all listened to growing up. Hopefully, Steve will be calling in a couple of minutes to join us and talk a bit about the Blue Shirts, the New York Metropolitans, and all New York sports. But let's talk about the New York Mets to start, Jerry.
I think we're going to be speaking a lot about the Mets tonight. We'll start off with the obvious anger, hate, and discontent. You know, bad day today for the Mets. Got to be honest. The Mets diehards, the two of us, lot to talk about today. It was a lot.
You know, but I got to tell you, I'm not. It's April 30th. As much as the Yankee fans shouldn't be celebrating,
let's not talk about the Yankees yet. Let's not.
I'm not worried. We're 10-14, 10-15. It's not the end of the world.
No, that's the second half of the show. That's when we add the perspective. Right now, it's the invective. This is the problem we're talking about now.
This was a real tough weekend.
Bad 2 weeks for the Mets all around. We're going to go into detail on how early it is and how we're not going to jump out the window yet.
However, some people
need to get thrown out the window for what's been going on with the Mets.
But I just put up a scoreboard, Jerry, on my machine here, and I see 23-5. I mean, listen, it's one game. The best thing about baseball is you erase it and you move on, but I can't even look at the number. It went out 23. How do you give up 23 runs?
You know what? I'm one for saying I love, and we've talked about this a lot of times. I'd see a guy who's getting lit up out on the mound, and I'm like, you know what? You created this mess, this dumpster fire. It's yours. I don't care if your arm falls off. I'm not coming out to help you. I'm not burning down my bullpen because you can't get anybody else out. So I actually love the fact that I actually was upset. We had kids' sports today, so I couldn't watch the game. Plawecki was pitching. I love when it doesn't happen very often, but when a position player is on the mound, that's a moment to cherish.
I texted a friend of mine. I was actually food shopping, and I saw the score. I said, "What did some guy Anthony Rendon had 9 RBIs?
I think he hit 10 home runs.
Yeah.
No, he had 4 home runs. Did it three or four? 4 home runs, 10
no,
RBIs.
3 home runs, 10 RBIs.
10 RBIs.
Yeah, and apparently he missed the fourth by like 5 feet.
Would it make a difference if he had 5? I mean, you know, come on.
But anyway, guys, if anyone wants to call in tonight, 631-888-8811. You join Jerry and I here on a sports-filled weekend, starting from Thursday with the NFL draft, which we'll talk a bit about later, straight through the Rangers yesterday, which was an absolute disaster. The Mets really had a nice weekend up till today. And then, of course, what the Yankees did over the weekend, especially Friday night, was absolutely disgusting. But, you know, we can get to all that. But, you know, before Steve calls in, and hopefully Steve does remember to call in as he had spoke with us, so we may have to. But just the show may have to go on, Jerry, if he doesn't call it. You know, you can just do his impersonation for a couple
minutes. I'm prepared.
Let's get some of the topics going, right? As we hopefully wait for Steve to join.
I think that, you know what, before we get into the topics, I think in the spirit of good professional radio and commerce, let's talk about our sponsors for another second.
We're waiting for you. Only you can do our sponsors proper justice.
We're going to talk about the wonderful sponsors. And this is, WGBB is the oldest radio station on Long Island.
On Long Island.
That's what it says on the website. So, and Amity Ales and Bunker Ales are some of the, not oldest, but best establishments on Long Island. I know there's been a Best of Long Island Award, I believe, for Corey's. And the owners, Bruno Cerace over there at Amity, along with John Corey, who's at both Amity and Corey's Ale House in Wantagh. Corey's is right near the Wantagh train station. It's a great spot. Quaint Irish pub. Many quality beers on tap, and the food is outstanding.
Yes,
I recommend the Irish nachos. Ask for them. Amity Ale's right down there in the heart of Amityville, right near the gazebo, just north of the gazebo. And the best part of the sponsorship, the triad, is their own in-house Bunker Ale. Bunker Ale is the best beer you haven't had yet. It's the best beer you've never tried. Their flagship Bunker Ale, the Lawnmower IPA, the phenomenal Bunker Brown Ale. I believe the Bunker Ale itself is on tap now. It's an American Pale Ale on tap now. I think the IPA just finished, and they're going on with the Brown as we speak.
What's the summer brew that
the summer ale is the Weed Whacker.
The Weed Whacker.
The Weed Whacker.
Weed Whacker.
The Weed Whacker. It's kind of a pun. Wheat's made out of wheat. Wheat and weed. But you'll notice it's a bunch of suburban dads that make the beer. Yeah. So it's all gasoline powered.
Straight out of the
bunker.
The bunker.
That's right.
In Wantagh.
So in any case, the owners are phenomenal people, it says here. That's what I was supposed to say.
Hey, well, listen. Sponsors, they could say, you know, we could say whatever they'd like if that's the case. But that's to everyone. You know, when you're looking to go out for a drink, for dinner, local places, obviously, I always personally think it's great to frequent local establishments, right? Oh. Rather than going to chains. These guys do a great job. The food's great. Corey's Ale's House is, you know, I come off the train, you know, on Thursday nights and always say, well, look at the crowd that's going out there Thursdays, Fridays, on the weekends. Great atmosphere. Wantagh's got a great bar scene. When I grew up and lived in Queens, we used to come out to go to Mulcahy's, which is obviously still there. So it's a great bar scene
in
Wantagh.
Did you just mention another bar?
Well, I was just saying we used to go. No, it was
Corey's. Corey's Ale House. Corey's Ale House.
Anyway.
But these are, you know, it's great bar scene over there, great food. And, you know, hopefully everybody will be able to get out. Even Amity Ale's, which is only open, what, every 2 years now? Is it 2 years?
Year and a half.
Year and a half.
A little over a year. Look, ask for it by name. Bunker Ale.
Bunker Ale. Only the best.
Ask why your bar doesn't have it and demand it.
So speaking about something that doesn't have it, let's put baseball on the shelf for a second. Let's talk about the New York Rangers and what happened yesterday. Everyone was sitting there, you know, throwing their rotator cuff out, shaking each other's hands and patting us on the back. The Rangers, Ottawa, and listen, I'm guilty of this. I didn't think they'd have any trouble with this team. And they're on the verge tomorrow of being down 3-0 if they lose the game. Tremendous pressure on them tomorrow. That game yesterday that they lost was absolutely brutal. How you lose up 2 goals, 3 minutes left to Ottawa, it's inexcusable.
They're going to have to figure out a way to solve the defense against Ottawa. Ottawa's definitely relentless coming down coming down into the ice. I mean, Lundqvist was forced to stand on his head twice, and you can't pin it all on him. I mean, you can't give up 5 goals in a playoff game. I mean, we were looking up. I was looking at when I had stopped by, waiting to for the game to end. I was on my way to meet you. And the game, it's 5-3, and I'm looking, it's 8 goals in a playoff game. Now, let's step back. Playoff hockey is among the best products out there.
Always.
It's phenomenal. So you're watching a home game if you're Ottawa, and you're about to walk out of there with a 1-1 tie, thinking you're going back to New York, and then you come out of it with a 2-0. Rangers are in serious trouble here. Any seven-game series hinges. Game three is huge. And that's, you know, the Yankees used to live on, who do they always pitch in game three? Andy Pettit, because he was their money guy. That's the game. If you can get it to 2-1, different game.
Yeah.
That's a whole thing. You don't want to go 3-0. 3-0.
They lose tomorrow. It's over.
It's tough.
Done.
Not going to say it's over, but it's suboptimal.
Yes.
Suboptimal.
But listen, I hope they turn it around tomorrow. Clearly, they took some tough luck in game one. They handed over game two. So obviously they were in a position to really win both games, right? I mean, if you want to spin any positive from the Rangers, is they were in a position to win both games. So hopefully the bounces go their way the next couple of games at the Garden. But listen, this is a team that plays better on the road.
They do.
Than they play at home. We really got to hope they turn this thing around. It would be an absolute shame not to get past this team. And then you're looking at Pittsburgh, who's just absolutely
Pittsburgh's
killing
Washington. They're playing the Capitals.
Yeah, they're killing them 2-0 already. And they're headed home. The Pittsburgh is just, you know, they won the Cup last year. It would be great hockey to see the Rangers and Pittsburgh in the Eastern Conference Final. I think that would be great.
I agree.
And if you look at over the West, Jerry, can you even name one team that's still alive in the West?
Hold on, let me get the paper.
the papers.
No, I don't
papers.
Have no idea. I have no idea.
There you go. So you imagine the NHL with their ratings already worse than the Kardashian reality shows, and they have Anaheim, Nashville, Edmonton, and St. Louis in the final four. So you imagine, just imagine the NHL with the final of Edmonton and Ottawa.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of candles being lit in the NHL office. A lot of prayers.
Well, at least for the Rangers of Pittsburgh to make it, because
that's what I'm saying.
I can't even fathom how poorly watched those games would be if it's Edmonton and Ottawa or Nashville and Ottawa in the final.
Yeah, tough.
That would be tough for the NHL.
So 631-888-8811. Get on the line.
Yeah, if you're looking to join in. I guess Mr. Summers may not have.
He's pranking you.
Yeah, maybe he missed a call. We had talked about it on Friday, and maybe he'll call in later, or he won't. It won't be the first time. I had one show over the summer when Howard Cross was joining me.
And Howard Cross?
He canceled about 20 minutes before I got on.
New York Giants.
He said he had a surprise birthday party. And then I had to go on and talk for now. And Brian was sitting there banging his head against the wall for 45 minutes. Yeah, Brian, he still wears a headband now from all the bruises that he took that night. Listening to me talk about whatever the hell is I was talking about for an hour. So it happens. But you know, having a co-host now makes it all the much easier. So let's switch.
Switch gears, Paul. Where are we going?
We talked about hockey. I mean, you know, listen, the Rangers are what they are. Let's hopefully next time we're on the air, we're still talking about a Ranger playoff run and not talking about. I just got a message from one of my friends up in Canada. He just said he would enjoy a finals with the Oilers and Ottawa. Yes. Dwayne,
yeah.
You and the other, 55,000 Canadians
How's
that
it
watch
going,
hockey.
Eh?
Watch the finals.
Take off, you hoser. That'd be great.
So they'll call it the Maple Syrup finale.
That'd be the Zen series.
Yeah.
NHL had a series in the Canada, would it make a sound? Would anyone know about?
Ann Murray and Celine Dion on
Paul with the Ann Murray reference. Did you? Ann Murray
doing? Hey, listen, it would actually be what they only have to sing one national anthem.
Okay. Yeah.
Were there ever a Canadian final? I have to go and look that up. See if we had a kid who's doing stats. Hey, find me if there's ever a Canada Stanley Cup final. My guess is no. Montreal, Calgary, something like
that.
Well,
the original six.
No,
were not all Canadian. You know, there was only one Canadian.
Yeah, but they weren't in like two conferences back then.
Nah, who knows? Who cares?
Anyway, so
did I almost say who cares? I didn't say that. I did not say that.
We're not talking about lacrosse, Jerry.
No, stop. I was at a lacrosse game. My daughter had a lacrosse game today.
Yeah.
Played very well. We kid the lacrosse people. But,
yeah.
You know, there's something that's just, supposedly lacrosse people are supposed to hate baseball people. Well, baseball people do not really know of lacrosse people.
Right.
Lax people do hate baseball people. That's like
is that true? They hate
baseball
lax
bros.
People?
Lax bros. It's part of the culture. Is that you're supposed to make fun of baseball guys. And the baseball guys all say, well, if you could hit a curveball, you wouldn't play lacrosse, right? But it's all good, whatever. As I get older, I get more mellow.
Don't hate. You're right. Don't hate anymore.
We'll save that for the second half of the show with the Yankees.
Yeah, so, all right, so now we're done with the Rangers, and let's talk about the Mets, Jerry. And if anyone sees us on the webcam,
all
five or six people that might be, doing the audience tonight, listen, there is no quit.
We're not quitting
over here.
For those of you
with
know,
the New York Metropolitan,
I know
no quit.
There are, our legions of fans that are out there that recorded. You know, they hang on every word, and they recorded that first show. And if you go back to the videotape on that first show, we were very positive on the Mets. You know, I was going all in with my Davey Johnson prediction that we were going to wreak havoc and just, rampage through the National League. So I'm sitting here a month later with egg on my face, but I'm not retracting my optimism. I think that, look, Earl Weaver, I like to use that quote, when Earl Weaver, the old coach, the manager of the Orioles, after a horrendous loss, they asked him, they were doing an post-game interview, and he said, hey, this ain't football. We do this every day.
Yeah,
we do this every day.
I mean,
lots can happen in a week. Things can change.
We're 10-14. I'm looking at the standings right now, right? And if you follow baseball, obviously I follow baseball relatively closely. The National League is really not loaded with a lot of good teams. There's the Nationals are a good baseball team.
Arguably, the
Cubs are a very good baseball team.
Top teams in baseball.
After those two teams, the Mets can easily make a wild card. Their division, listen, the Phillies are getting better, but they're not there. The Marlins are have no pitching. The Braves are marginal. The Cardinals are not that good. The Brewers, the Reds, the Pirates. Is anybody scaring you so far, Jerry?
Not, you know what? Not long term. But all of those teams are capable of having a good week.
Yeah, but these aren't teams that, you know, the Mets could beat any of these teams to get a wild card. That's what I'm saying. What are you worried about? And in the West, you got the Rockies, the Diamondbacks. Come on.
The Rockies are 15-9.
It's 16. Yeah, well, what paper is that? I got them here. 16-10.
This is America's newspaper.
Were they lose two games today?
The paper of record, the New York Post.
Rockies 16-10, Diamondbacks 16-11. The Giants are in deep. You know what? They're 9-17. Bumgarner is gone until August. They're done.
He got dirt.
Padres stink. Yeah. So the end of the day, Met fans. We're only a couple of games out of the wild card. It is April 30th. They made the playoffs last year with guys pitching for them that you hadn't even heard of in your life. Lugo, Gesellman, and anyone else that was going out there. There is time. You know what? Get all these injuries out of the way. We'll be fine for the run. I'd rather them get it done now and we're healthy for August when it matters. Okay. And I think about the pitching. Here's my problem with the pitching. I don't even blame the trainers. So let me use a couple of references I thought of this morning. Greg Maddux, Jerry, what did he look like?
He looked like he read a lot of Harry Potter books.
Right. Pedro Martinez.
Put glasses on him. He actually looked like
Harry Potter. Pedro Martinez.
Pedro.
Was he big and daunting?
Big hands.
Right. Randy Johnson was tall, but was he like built?
No.
Okay. You look at Syndergaard. And I remember looking at a picture of Steven Matz fishing in the off season. This guy had guns, arms like a bodybuilder.
You're talking about Syndergaard.
And Matz, the two
right,
of them.
Right.
You watch Syndergaard pitch now. He's got the cutoff sleeves. He's going out there all jacked up. Do you think that maybe there's some correlation between how muscular these guys are now and how they're getting hurt every 20 minutes?
Well, look, I completely agree.
Seriously.
You go back in baseball lore and the unwritten
lore
rules of baseball,
law.
Guys didn't lift. You're not historically, baseball is a flexibility game.
Right.
Baseball's not a bulk game. And when the lifting came in, you saw injuries like this starting to become more common. Now today, I haven't heard an official diagnosis or an official statement from the Mets about what actually happened to Syndergaard, but the tweets were saying that it was a lat strain, right? So not his arm, his lats. Now that would be positive if that's what it was, but again, I think it goes back to your point about piling on all this bulk. Another observation about him today is he forgot. I was actually listening to the game a little bit in the first inning when he was giving up all the runs, and Howie Rose made a great point saying that all of his pitches he was throwing them as hard as he could. He'd been out for a week, and it was as if, and you kind of forget, he's 24 years old, and he's out there throwing the ball 101 miles an hour, but he's not changing speeds. So Warthen comes out of the dugout, the pitching coach, and the next pitch out of his hand is a changeup. And Howie made a great point. He says, that's why you have a catcher.
Right.
You've got to change things up.
He's his own personal catcher, too,
apparently. His job is pitcher. It's not hard thrower. You don't have to throw 100 miles an hour to get guys out. There's plenty of guys that get – I mean, how hard did Tom Glavine pitch?
Not hard at all.
No, he couldn't break a pane of glass.
Low 90s at best.
So it's about –
But I think that there's some correlation with how these guys train and how they manage their bodies compared to the old days. Pedro Martinez, Maddux used to throw – 200 and something innings a year, threw strikes, got guys out, is sitting in the Hall of Fame, right? Mm-hmm. Noah Syndergaard, okay, is right now, if he keeps breaking down like he has every other year, well, Matt's a different story. But clearly there's something wrong with these guys, the way their bodies are being acclimated. Kershaw, okay, let's use a couple of modern-day guys. Mm-hmm. Kershaw's been healthy up until last year, but Kershaw hurt his back last year.
Right.
Wasn't his arm.
Right.
Madison Bumgarner has never been hurt until he fell off a freaking dirt bike. That's just stupidity.
Well,
this guy hasn't had arm problems.
Right, right.
Right? And you look at Madison Bumgarner. Does he look like he just won a weightlifting championship?
Long,
no.
Big lanky guy.
Right. So maybe it's these guys, the way they're training, and clearly the way Syndergaard behaved this week, right? He told Jay Horowitz, who was born when the earth cooled, to shut up the other day.
Jay Horowitz is a Mets PR guy.
Right, right.
So, are you scoring at home?
So here's, what's wrong with these kids?
Well,
maybe, sorry, listen, everyone blames Yeah, first of all, Sandy Alderson's a GM. He's not sitting there in the – I understand he controls the team, right? But he's not sitting there controlling what these kids say and do. Right? I think he gets too much crap, to be quite honest with you. And in terms of the trainer is the trainer. You think he's going to sit there and make one of these kids do something they don't want to do? It's got to come from the top.
Ultimately, all those guys are support. The ones that have to execute are the guys on the field.
Right.
And they have to be put in the position to succeed. Now, the thing with Syndergaard – or any of these young pitchers, you talk to some of the old timers that get on. The, you know, Ron Darling will talk about it. Keith Hernandez will talk about it. You get any of the old pitchers being interviewed. There's a whole school of thought that says these guys don't work enough.
Enough?
That they should work more. That they need to pitch more innings because they're working on things that aren't. The thing that they need to do is throw. Throwing gets you used to throwing.
Right.
But it doesn't mean you have to throw with all of your might on every pitch. Because the trend in baseball has been guys have to throw, you know, from the bottom of their hearts with every pitch. And you can't do that for nine innings. You have to know when do you...
But you have to tell you, I didn't see the game, but I was following it, you know, in different ways. Apparently, he threw 100 miles an hour today. How do you throw 101 miles an hour and have arm problems? That I don't understand.
It's Sid Finch.
but seriously, how do you throw the ball that fast and have an arm problem?
I know.
Because if your arm was that messed up, could you throw a ball 100 miles
an hour?
I know.
I don't understand this. Look, whenever I throw 101 miles an hour, I never have a problem. I'm fine. I don't know. I don't know what these kids today.
Yeah. By the way, my co-host, I played wiffle ball, and there wasn't no relation to his last name. But he could throw a... I don't even know what you call that wiffle ball pitch of yours, Whiffler. It literally starts out in center field and ends up in right field by the time it crosses the plate. When it crosses the plate. And, I mean, one day Jared and I took on a couple of kids at a lacrosse game out in, somewhere out east where we were playing the kids against
the wall.
Oh, they
were chirping. They were talking a lot. They saw the two old
guys.
But,
you know, I don't understand it with these guys, with the way these pitchers work today. And it really, you know, and I know everyone likes to blame the Mets coaches. They like to blame the Mets front office. You know, I also think that, listen, guys, you know, if you've been around sports people, I've only been a little bit long time ago, nothing recent or enough for me to say, but I do think that there's a lot more that goes on that people don't know about with these, with all of these quote unquote injuries. Remember when Harvey went down last year, all of a sudden he had a urinary tract infection or something. Lord knows what this guy's doing.
Well, I think there's code, too.
Of course. You know, there's got to be a lot of that. So I think
the flu is not always the flu.
Right. I think that the fans and the media don't – I mean, the media might know, but obviously they can't write about it. But clearly I think there's a lot more going on than some of the nonsense that is portrayed.
Jay Horowitz knows.
Of course he knows. I don't know. Jay Horowitz, he's amazing. He's been around for this long. Anyway, I it's a long season. We'll get these injuries out. We'll get Matt's back at the end of May. Cespedes, apparently I read today, he's already feeling better. He should be back in about 10 days.
Yeah, let's not – and it's not complete Kool-Aid rose-colored glasses with the Mets. I'm a realist as well. I mean, the Mets have trouble, and it goes back to what you and I identified this in our first show a couple weeks ago. We mentioned that they're built with – there aren't a lot of contact hitters in that lineup.
No.
And you can pitch that lineup. Especially when you take the beast out of the middle of it. When you don't have the Cespedes in there, you know, he changes that lineup utterly. If he's a healthy Cespedes, now there's also, you know, the glass half empty with Cespedes is that he is just gonna devour 3-4-5 level pitchers. Right? He's gonna kill them.
Yeah.
Because he's gonna hit mistakes for home runs, he's gonna hit them a mile. He has historically looked like he's had some trouble with aces, 1-2 guys, and ace top level relief pitchers give him trouble. You know, but they give a lot of people trouble. So, but you take him out of the lineup, and you really saw it in the last, you know, in this bad stretch the Mets have had. You know, Neil Walker's hitting under, you know, 210, yeah, 205.
200.
You know, he's been holding his swing.
140. He's got, I think Granderson.
Look, Granderson, for everything you read about him, he's the consummate gentleman, great guy, great clubhouse guy, ultimate teammate.
That helps a lot in the field.
But, you know, there's a lot of guys like that that are 55 years old. You can't play.
You're a class guy.
I'm a nice guy. I can't play for the Mets.
Right. I think I'd be happy to see you hitting 059 for the Mets.
I probably could hit 059 for the Mets. I mean, you know, I probably could.
Could you even leg out a ball at first base?
Time with a sundial. But, yeah, you know what? With unfortunately, it has to be a cold business, and you have to look and say,
yeah,
is it still adding value, or is it time to hit the bench? And I'll hold Terry Collins to a very good statement. He says, look, the hot hand is going to get ridden. We're going to keep the guy. He said this a year or two ago. Whoever's hot is in. If you hit, you play. If you don't hit, you don't play. And I knew that. I learned that in Little League. It's like, you know, hitters always get a spot. If you can hit, you could be a butcher out in the field, but you're going to get a bat. You're going to get a place in the lineup. Granderson right now is playing himself out of the lineup, but unfortunately the Mets don't have anybody put in there.
No.
You know, I think it's great that Conforto, you know, arguably he's their best hitter right now. You know, right, because they have so many injuries, they really don't have an option.
No.
Now,
but listen, you know what? So there's a couple of things I think. Let's not forget Jay Bruce is hitting 290, 7 home runs, 6. Jay Bruce is having a great year so far.
So, very solid.
Conforto, and so Cespedes comes back. The Mets have a very good outfield. Very good outfield. Three very good outfield. Granderson, to me, is fourth outfield or getting cut by July. So a very good outfield.
He's streaky, though. Could come to life. You don't know.
I wouldn't have started him every year.
Anyway.
Right? I mean, Conforto's got to let this kid play baseball. Don't take him out of the lineup anymore. That's my opinion.
I agree with you.
He needs to play. You know, first base, obviously, Duda, you got some challenges. You got a good second base with Walker. Cabrera's solid at short. Third base, you can put, obviously, Reyes. And I still think the Mets can call up Rosario, who apparently is killing the ball in the minors.
Rosario's hitting way over
400. One of the top 10 prospects in baseball. You know, there are things
the options.
Mets can
they
do.
They have options. The Mets need to stabilize. They just have to get the ship righted a little bit. And, you know, even if they just play 500 ball here for a little while and tread water until they can get the pieces back, it isn't like they were on the verge. You know, a couple of days ago, if we had this conversation, they could have had their season ended with a sweep at the hands of the Nationals.
Yeah, they would have been 10 games out.
I'm not going to sit here and think that wouldn't be trouble.
It's only April. It's early. It's early.
But they're not. They didn't get swept. They won 2 out of 3.
They did, and they're right in the thick of it. So listen, just to conclude the Mets, because then we get the break, then we're going to move on to the Yankees.
That'll be after the break.
After the break. Talk a little bit about the draft. And, you know, I think that I'm not – after last year and how the Mets made the playoffs with literally half a team at best, they had nothing on that team, people forgetting last year how beat up that team was, that I look back and that's why I don't bash Terry Collins. Don't lose your faith. There is lots of time for this thing to turn around. They got a much better roster than they had going into the playoffs last year.
Absolutely correct.
And I'm not going to, you know, maybe, and listen, maybe Sandy makes a deal this year. You know, he brought Bruce in. Maybe he'll bring some other guys in, right? Maybe he goes out and gets a starting pitcher. Not that there's a lot to probably find, but who knows what he can do. You know, I think the Mets are going to be fine. I think the Mets are going to end up in the playoffs. I don't think they win a division. I think the Nationals, the Nationals had a huge injury yesterday. Well, Friday night. They lost Adam Eaton. He's gone for the year. They traded four kids away to get this guy, and now he's done for the season.
That's a bad loss.
That's a huge loss for them in the outfield. They got, you know, Wirth, who's older out there. They got Harper, who's great. And around the infield, they got Ryan Zimmerman, who's batting like, you know, he's been reincarnated as one of the best first basemen in the history of baseball. He's not going to hit 85 home runs this year. He's hit 11 in the month of April. Well, so he'll cool off.
That's going to be our theme for the second half of the show is – cooling off and hot streaks.
Yes, which are predominantly happening in the Bronx.
Yes.
Because there is lots of pixie dust and Cinderellas going on in the Bronx. And we'll talk about that right after this.
You are listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the contact us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit Gustbuster.com and get your Gustbuster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Paul Spiteri and Jerry Ripley Show, Sunday, April 30th, on the second half hour. Jerry, of our action-packed hour.
The action-packed hour. Thanks, Paul. Yeah, great. WGBB on Long Island, the oldest radio station on Long Island.
Maybe the oldest radio host, Jerry. You might qualify for that, too.
All right. I'm going to fight you.
But first, Jerry, talk a bit about our sponsors before we get going on
our
the next
sponsors.
Round of topics.
Our sponsors. Hey, we're very proud to be able to feature tonight three great sponsors. Amity Ales, Brew Pub, and Eatery in the heart of Amityville. 196 Broadway, just north of the gazebo in beautiful Amityville, Long Island. Amity Ales features the best of American and Irish pub fare. Really an outstanding restaurant. Some really good dishes. Everything from outstanding chicken wings. If you've never had...
Outstanding chicken wings.
They're outstanding chicken
outstanding.
Wings.
Outstanding. They are very good chicken wings.
I'll tell you, if you've never had their... You would never think of this. A Jamaican jerk chicken wing.
Jamaican jerk chicken wing. And where's this? At Corey's.
Usually the guys who lose to Usain Bolt refer to him as that. But, yeah, they're really spicy.
The crickets are out.
I'll tell you.
Brian is officially...
Brian liked it.
Brian has gone on Route 109 looking for answers.
But I'll tell you, no, the Jamaican jerk chicken wings are phenomenal. The Bruno Burger.
The Bruno Burger.
The Bruno Burger.
Is that aptly named?
It's named for one of the very kind, benevolent, and magnanimous owners they have there. But, yeah, they have that. It's just really good. And 16 beers on tap. They have an outstanding canned beer collection. They've got Corey's Ale House, their sister restaurant in Wantagh, I believe has the largest selection of Irish whiskey in the air, at least in the area, possibly in America.
So, Joe, when you go into Corey's, what are you ordering?
What am I ordering?
What do you order? What are you ordering?
If I go to Corey's, usually I mentioned on the first segment, I said the Irish nachos. Kids love them.
Drink-wise.
Oh, I'm always asking to see if the Bunker Ale isn't on tap, because that's our other sponsor, Bunker Ale.
Right.
But Corey's, Bunker isn't a regular at Corey's. It's a special treat. They don't always have enough, when they do get it, it doesn't last long. Goes right out the door.
High demand.
Very high demand. It's good. The best beer you haven't had yet.
Is that going to go on the label?
Say again?
That's going to go on the label?
Could. Depends on the response we get tonight. But, yeah, Corey's outstanding and Amity Ale. So get down there and try it and ask for a Bunker Ale when you get there.
So, Jerry, thank you for that again. And thank you to our sponsors, Amity Ales, Bunker Ales, and Corey's Ale House. Everybody, please pay them a visit. I think
I just remembered, by the way, 58 different Irish whiskeys at Corey's.
58?
58.
Wow.
Heinz has 57. Corey's has 58.
58.
That's a lot. I would name them, but we don't have time.
So let's talk about. I really don't want to, Jerry, but I feel like we have to because this is. You know, when I first got on the air here, the producer said, "You know, Paul, I want to try to keep it New York sports."
It's okay, Paul. Go ahead.
But it kills me. It pains me because I don't like to talk about the Yankees unless they're losing frequently. Then I enjoy the hell out of talking about the Yankees.
The Yankees.
I the other night, Friday night, I don't know what I was watching. I guess it was late. I got my daughter made communion Saturday. I was running around for all
God
that.
Bless her.
And Friday night, you know, after I got everything settled down, I was watching a little bit of the game, and they were down like 11 to 2 or some crazy number. And they started coming back, and I was looking on Twitter, and I see all the Yankee fans, oh, we're coming, this will be the greatest win ever. And unbelievably, they came back and won that game. And they are playing incredible baseball right now.
It's all theoretical to me because I pay no attention.
Right. But
they are coming out of the caves, though.
They are.
They've been hunkered down.
They're swinging off the vines. They're coming out of the caves.
Freeze-dried food because they just don't know. They don't.
And you know what the worst part is? This is a friend of ours said yesterday, Jerry. Oh, they're doing this with homegrown talent, which just makes me want to vomit. I would have vomited my dinner.
As they always have.
I can't listen to this nonsense about, oh, they're doing it the right way. You know what, Yankee fans? You have had no injuries yet. It is April 30th. Aaron Judge will have curveballs coming at him every game for the rest of the season.
I am saying this on behalf of my brothers because we're trying to get this phrase back. And this is what I'm just going to say to the Yankee fans. Calm down.
Yes, please.
Calm down.
Stop. You're not going to the World Series with C.C. Sabathia pitching game two of the ALCS there. Enough.
And I'll stop. Now I'm going to help the Yankee fans because I know they're a little math challenged. I think they know how to count to 27, but that's about the only number they know. The season is 15%
right
of the season.
And you're tied for first. Okay. Not even in first place by yourself.
Tied.
Please.
Tied. And the first Yankee fan who can call in and give me their winning percentage wins one of the Met hats we have here. 652 winning percentage. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the 1986 Mets had about, they were over a 600 winning percentage in 86, 100 and something wins.
Yeah. Oh,
but that's irrelevant. I'm not going back to the archives.
No. Let's talk about this year.
They're
15-8, great start, 10-2 at home, 5-6 on the road.
But I'm going to give the devil their due. They've been playing enviable baseball. They've been playing really well.
Enviable.
But that's what happened. But if the shoe were on the other foot and the Mets were doing this, the Mets would be playing over their head.
Of course.
Way over their head. They'll be coming down to earth.
I'm just seeing who the Yankees have coming up. I'm looking at their schedule. So after this, they go, here we go. They got Toronto for three games.
Toronto's
been
horrendous.
Miserable.
They're
miserable.
Miserable.
Then the Yankees have three games against the Chicago Cubs next weekend in Chicago.
The Cubbies.
Michael Pineda, I'm sure Michael Pineda will go 19-2 this year. Nothing could possibly hold. Let me fix my hat for Michael
hold
Pineda.
On. The law firm of Severino, Sabathia, Pineda, Tanaka, and Montgomery.
How's this? Here's my Michael Pineda look. I feel a little better now.
That's CeCe.
No, it's Michael Pena, too.
Does he do that, too?
But he has the pine tar underneath here, too, right?
So it doesn't straighten out? Yeah. Stays stuck over there?
Pineda goes against Lester Pineda against Hendricks on Friday. So the Yankees got three at home for Toronto, then the Cubs. Then they play the Cream Puff Reds for two games. They got four against Houston, who's a very good baseball team.
Turned it around.
Then Kansas City, who's a disaster. Tampa, terrible. Kansas City. Okay, so here's what's going to happen, Jerry. Here's the problem.
Go ahead.
We're going to be listening to this nonsense to Memorial
They're
Day.
They're good for 2 more weeks. Month. They're gonna
because
be,
in May,
gonna be fine.
They got Kansas City, Tampa, Kansas City, and Oakland.
Oof.
So we go into Memorial Day weekend listening to this nonsense.
You know what? With that schedule for the Yankees, we're liable to have to – I think what they're going to have to do is cancel the rest of the season and just have the parade early and give them the trophy because nobody's catching them.
No, nobody's catching.
Nobody's catching.
Anyone wants to call in and talk about the Yankees or anything else, 631-888-8811. I don't know if I want to talk about the Yankees a lot more. It bothers me to see what's going on.
I gotta say,
I thought they were going to be awful this year. I absolutely did. Maybe I'll be right in the end.
We always have hope.
Because I just,
it's nearly. Look, we admit it. We're two bitter Met fans. We get it. We understand. but we're not going to give any quarter. What's the best day? Best sports day. Best sports day. Met win. Yankee loss.
Yes.
But
yes.
Next best sports day. Yankee loss. So we just want them to lose. I can't tell you how excited I was when they would lose the World Series. Oh my God, that was so fun.
They lost 2001. That's fantastic.
I was watching Rivera blow the Arizona Diamondbacks. You had no idea.
Yeah, no.
Was that who beat them?
You know what killed me the year they played the Phillies? I said, I hope, you know what I told somebody? I don't know if I knew you then. I said, I hope every game gets rained out.
Seven times.
I just wanted to be rained out till December.
I rooted for the Phillies.
I would root for the Yankees under any circumstance.
I would have no problem rooting against. Because people, oh, how don't you hate the Phillies? I was like, no, I don't hate the Phillies. I really don't. If you think, the Mets don't have a historical rival because the Mets have always been terrible.
Yeah, but no, the Braves, the, well.
We've had the.
The Braves were a big rival.
If you go back, the original one was the Cubs.
Yes.
Because 69, the Cubs choked and the Mets took them down and won the 69 World Series. In 73, it was also still the Cubs. The Mets had to beat the Cubs to get into the, you know, they, you know, basically won 80, what were they, one game over 500, I think, when they won.
Yes.
And then they should have beaten the Oakland A's. That's a whole other thing. Then they had the Cardinals.
The
Cubs again. The first year the Mets got good was in 84, and that was the Cubs. That was Rick Sutcliffe's year.
Yes.
Then you had...
Then the Cardinals.
I'm doing this
came
for my brother Tom in Chicago because he keeps saying he's going to call in.
Yeah.
So and
the Cardinals.
He became
up.
A big Cub fan.
Oh, did he?
Oh. Oh, yeah. He's a Cub fan and a Bud man.
Cub fan by convenience. But you think then the Cardinals
then the
really
Cardinals.
85, 86, 87.
Those 80s Cardinals. Whitey Herzog Cardinals?
Yeah.
Phenomenal team.
And the Dodgers were, you know, we they played were, them in 88.
That was once, though.
Yeah.
They were one thorn in the side.
That's true. But.
And then the Braves for years.
Yeah.
The Phillies are, they come and they go.
Because the Phillies have stunk forever. That's why. The Phillies have been terrible.
Historically terrible.
Yeah. The Phillies have been good since Mike Schmidt
played
third base.
The Phillies are 100 years of the Mets. The Phillies have been bad.
You think about
ever.
It. You think about
the Phillies are bad for
you. You think about Philadelphia from a sports perspective.
Oh, those poor bastards.
That's a loser. What did they ever want in Philly? The Flyers won when? The seven? I don't know if I've even born yet with the last time the Flyers won. Something.
Rocky won in the second movie.
Right. I mean, when he got up against Apollo Creed, that was one of the biggest upsets in cinematic
history.
Hot take. History.
Rocky II is the best one.
Oh, easily.
Rocky II.
You know, Burt Young eats at a local restaurant over there in Jerusalem.
Paulie?
Yeah, yeah. I saw him at a restaurant once.
I heard he's loaded.
Oh, yeah. Well, he had
invested very well.
Yeah, yeah. And he came at the restaurant. He looked like an Uber driver. Ripped
pants. Want to buy him a sandwich.
But Philadelphia, what if they've ever won? Football, they've won nothing. Hockey, they haven't won in 40 years.
Well, that was the thing on the draft.
Basketball, they won, what, maybe they won a title or two in the 80s?
I don't even know who that team is. Who plays there? Oh, the Sixers. That's right. That's the NBA. Yeah, I'll be out in the men's room. You go ahead and talk about the
and
NBA.
The Phillies won the World Series. What did Tug McGraw win the World Series for? Like an 83 or something like that? Or 70-something? I don't remember. The Phillies haven't been good since
81? I forget. I don't remember.
There's some sports towns that really haven't won anything. Think about it. That's probably one of the worst Philly in terms of success.
It's one of the reasons why people hate New Yorkers because they're so entitled. They think, you know, even the Mets were in the World Series 2 years ago. Didn't acquit themselves
very well.
They were in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were in it in 2000.
Yeah.
Well, We're not talking about that.
What happened to you?
I don't know. I forgot.
I went to a doctor to get that erased from my memory. You know, I gave my my brother and I had tickets that year. For the Mets, kind of like one of those half plans, but you got playoff tickets.
For what, 2000?
Yeah.
I said we're not talking about 2000.
Yeah. But I always give my dad a shout out. And the last game, it was game 5, I said, I had the tickets. I said, there's no way I'm going to go and watch what may happen tonight on my field. I threw the tickets out and said, you go to the game. And we know what happened then. But that's the end of that. You know, it was then. Now there's now. I think we're still closer to the World Series than they will be.
Oh, I have no doubt. I have no doubt. Until it happens, it hasn't happened yet.
No. Right.
Lots of teams have had hot Aprils.
Right. The Mets play them, I think, in August, which actually could be some interesting games.
They pushed, and I think they went down to the 4-game, 2-2.
And it's later in the year, all the way back into the year. Which should be interesting.
It's fine.
So, Joe, we got 15 minutes left. Let's talk about football, because obviously the last breathing of football occurred this weekend.
Thursday
night.
The draft.
Which really bothers me, by the way. I mean, I don't have the time. When I was a kid, I used to go on Saturdays. Draft started at noon. Mm-hmm. Mel Kiper's hair looked the same. And you'd put ESPN on. It was him and Berman. And the draft would be on from 12 o'clock to like 8 o'clock at night. And they would literally draft 10, 12 rounds. Now there's less rounds, and it's over 4 days. So it's Thursday, Friday, 3 days. 3 days and less rounds. Where they used to do 12 rounds in one day, starting at 12.
I don't even know.
And now it's become, you know, this multi-day affair. But the draft is over. The schedule's out. So from an NFL perspective, you know, this is it now, guys. We don't hear NFL much until they break camp late July. The guys show up for camp, and then obviously the break camp means it's over. They really start camp late July. So this is the last football conversation we'll have until the summer, right?
Okay, go ahead.
So let's talk about the draft. First thing I say about the draft, everyone, is everyone who comments on the draft – How many of those people actually watch these kids play in college? Probably next to none, right? So they're getting all their information from, oh, I read this about this kid, I read this about that kid, I read this about this kid. I like the fact, and Mel Kiper, to his credit, does this. He goes back and he regrades all of the drafts that he graded, let's say, the year before. So at the end of this season, he went back and looked at his grades for what he did for the draft that ends.
You mean how he thought that the kids were going to turn out?
Right, well, no, yeah. So, like, he gives a grade today. And everyone says, oh, this team had the best draft. This kid in the fourth round could be a star. But then they go back. Some of those guys get cut. Some of those don't even play. Some of them are better than others. And you don't know. That's my point is you don't know.
You don't know.
It's a crapshoot. But the NFL, because it's such a powerhouse of entertainment that people get caught up in this, like, it's unbelievable what this thing's turned into.
The NFL better watch themselves, because the NFL is getting a little tiresome. The NFL,
you think
they're almost getting to be oversaturated, and they're over.
It's like too much.
Hold on, let me get my soapbox. They're getting a little bit too. This goes into even replay in baseball. They get a little too lawyered up, and I don't like the replay. This is a whole conversation about replay.
You don't like replay?
A little bit.
I think you need replay.
But once you go in, they get that slippery slope. And they've ruined – there's an argument to be made that they've ruined the flow of the game with all the replay. But let's get back to the draft. The draft is, to me – and I was sending out snotty, snarky texts. I think I sent it to you before the draft. I don't care about the draft. Cards on the table. I like football. When I'm watching my team, I like to watch the New York Football Giants. That's my team. Yeah, you're proudly wearing your Denver Broncos.
I don't know about proudly anymore, but yeah, I'm wearing it.
Oh, yeah. They just won the Super Bowl a couple years ago. They did very nicely. So I give you credit for sticking with your team.
I
grew up watching terrible Giant football teams. I had Fran Tarkenton and Craig Morton as my quarterback when I was a little kid. But I still like the Giants. But the only interest I have is watching my team.
Yeah, but because you're not into the fantasy.
I don't gamble,
and you don't gamble. You don't.
The NFL's
huge.
The NFL's popularity is attached primarily to gambling.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're right.
If you didn't have such, and it's such an easy sport to gamble on, on which to gamble, because what you can do is you can look at the injury reports, you can look at the point spreads, and it's very simple. I defy you to figure out the calculus involved of betting a baseball game. I mean, Pete Rose knew how to do it, but it's very difficult to figure out. I'm sure you know how to do that, but it's, you know, the minus 110 or whatever. It's very difficult.
Yeah, essentially, the odds, like if Clayton Kershaw is pitching against the Padres.
I'm not going to pay attention. Yeah. I don't care. But the thing is with the football is I want to see my product on the field for 16 games, and I want them to go 16-0. And when they lose, I get into a very foul mood. And one of the bunker guys that I know, Pete and I watch football games constantly together. He's negative, I'm positive. And I'm like, Giants are going to win this football game. And the draft is only useful to me in as much as it puts better players on the field for me. And I see that, you know, rookies are kids. Rookies are rookies. Very rarely do you have a guy that comes in and makes an impact.
Yeah.
Very few. So the draft, I think it's almost like, Hallmark creates – greeting cards they create holidays with greeting cards. The NFL wants to be on TV, so they create this big hoopla around the draft. It's a big snoozer.
So, Jerry, before, so we got about 10 minutes left.
Yeah, we've got plenty of time.
And I got my pen out.
Uh-oh.
So I'm holding you to this.
All right,
we have a caller. Hold on.
No way.
We have a caller. Let's put him through. Tommy from Chicago, you're on with Paul and Jerry.
Hey, am I calling 100?
Call 100. What does he win? What does he win, Johnny?
You win a free autograph session with my co-host, the Colonel.
Great show tonight, guys.
Hey, how are you? So, Tom, how is it in Chicago tonight?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's 43 degrees and raining.
Wow, that's worse than us right
they
now.
They had 10 inches of snow in Denver, speaking of just crappy weather the other day. You believe that?
Will you stop
April?
With the Denver? The guy's from Chicago. Hey, Tom, so did you have a question or you want to comment? Question, comment? Because we have a question for you, but we'll leave you first, Gib. What do you want to say?
I was listening to the draft commentary, and as a miserable diehard Jets fan, I would say that just the enthusiasm you have for the Mets and the delayed expectations, I think you have to apply the same to the Jets. hell of a draft draft class this year.
Did you actually follow the draft? Are you have an opinion on who they got? Like, did you follow it or?
Yeah.
So what do you think of what they? Do you think they?
Well, the top pick, Adams, was a steal. I mean, that was.
It was a good pick.
Yeah. He fell to six. He probably should have been number three.
Mm. Ty, what do you think about them not taking Dalvin Cook at that second pick that they had the chance?
Yeah, that was probably a mistake.
Well, the one thing I heard, actually, from the guy, the show in front of us, he had the Jets beat writer on, I think, from the AP, and they said the Jets consciously picked good citizens, meaning good kids with good reps, rather than people with troubled paths, because they've had such a history lately of some players that have been disruptive, and there was a design to pick, you know, kids with real top-notch backgrounds, and apparently that's why they passed on Cook.
Yeah, well, you know, that's Tom Ricketts. He doesn't mince words when he says both he and Theo Epstein, they basically, they will not pick or allow anybody into their organization who is not a young man of character.
Hey, Tom, we're going to need you to clarify something. Now, first of all, I think Paul and I just set the record for the WGBB 1240 AM biggest footprint call-in. Because I don't think anybody on this station's had anybody call in from Chicago, so we win. But you got to tell our millions of listeners here in New York who those folks are you just mentioned. Who are they?
Yeah, I don't think Tom Ricketts is the owner of the Chicago Cubs, and of course Theo Epstein is the title president, but president and GM, the architect of the breaking the 109-year curse.
You know what? Congratulations. I was rooting hard for the Cubs last year. Once the Mets weren't in, it was nice story.
Tom, I guess your question, though, before we pat the Jets on the back for the greatest draft, let's recall what they did in the second round last year. How do you explain that? Do I have to remind you who they picked?
Yeah, you probably do.
Christian Hackenberg.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm kind of tired of the let's draft somebody and let's make him sit for 3 years so he can feel how the pine feels under his butt. I mean, we've got way too many teams draft, and the Jets are the worst probably offender of this. High talent guys and sit them down behind slugs.
Right.
And, you know, you look, Bryce Petty could be a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's sitting there probably scratching his head, wondering what the hell happened. Why did he? How did he end up in the New York Jet organization?
Yeah. So, Tom, what do you think for this year, upcoming for the Jets? With you're happy with the coach?
Yes.
Okay. So, what do you think? What's the prognosis? Who's going to start? Who's going to be under center for the Jets? Gun to your head.
I actually think that Petty's going to win the job.
You do?
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Good. All right. And give us a record. How are the Jets going to do? The reason
probably 500 ball.
500.
Well, 500 puts him right in there because that's the whole league is 500. There is a school of
Tommy,
thought.
Hold on. Time out, Jerry. Before we, you can't let him off the hook. You telling me the Jets are going to go 8-8 this year?
Yeah, they got the.
All right, hold on. We're going to do a little schedule game with you, Tommy,
yeah,
because after we get through this, I may ask you to FedEx me whatever you're smoking and tell me the Jets are going 8-8. Ready? First game at Bills, win or loss?
It's a win.
Okay. At Raiders.
That's going to be, well, you know, there's going to be a lot of, probably a loss there.
Probably, you know, a loss. Probably. All right.
We got
all
3 minutes. Go
hold
quick.
On.
Faster.
Get the rolling paper ready for me, too.
Come on. Time.
Home for the Dolphins.
That's a win.
Okay. Home for the Jaguars.
That's probably a win, too.
Oh, my God.
Tom Coughlin.
At Cleveland.
Well, they got, you know, they got my Notre Dame Kaiser there, so he's, that's going to be a tough game. Johnny Manziel will be in the stands.
Win or loss?
At Cleveland. Come on, Tommy. You think, all right,
clock's running.
Tommy has him at 4-1. My Lord.
4-1!
Home.
Keep going. Come on.
Home for the Patriots.
We're going to get blown out by the Patriots.
Thank you. Okay, finally some sense. At Dolphins.
They will avenge the loss, and they will beat us by a touchdown.
Okay. At Buccaneers. No, I'm sorry. At
Falcons.
No, yeah. Home for Falcons.
We're going to get blown out.
Okay, good. Now we're talking. Home for the Bills.
We're going to beat them again.
Okay, the Bills do stick. At Buccaneers. Oh, Christ.
That's a tough one. I can't. I'm blind on the Bucs.
It's a tie. It's going to be a tie.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Home for the Panthers.
We're going to beat them and probably break Cam Newton's leg.
Home for the Chiefs.
Going to lose by a field goal.
At Denver.
That's his Tom.
Ooh, team. Denver's a tough team.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
Don't blow smoke.
Next, at Saints.
They're vulnerable. We're going to beat them.
Really? Because the Jets have all these great characters who won't get hammered at Bourbon Street the night before
they're
the
vulnerable.
Game.
They're
home for the Chargers. Chargers are terrible.
Probably going to beat the Chargers.
They'll beat the Chargers.
At New England. I'm sure you'll beat that one, too. Here,
we'll
right?
get smoked.
Yeah, thank
on
you.
New
okay,
Year's
finally.
Eve.
So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 8. He got
He's 8 and 8. He's consistent.
There.
All right, Tom. Which is absolutely the worst thing that could happen.
Tommy, I will buy you the best dinner of your life if the Jets win 7 games this year.
Tom. Write it down. I know where he lives, Tom.
I've recorded that.
Okay. Hey, Tom, thanks for calling in.
Tommy, thanks for calling in. We got to get going.
Great.
We got to run.
Jerry.
Paul.
Another great show.
That's why you say so.
And it was great to have Tommy from Chicago call in, and hopefully the drugs he's on. Say the Jets will go 8-8.
Jets will go 8-8.
I'm sure
Edelman loved hearing that. Hey, thanks for dialing us up, everybody.
And thanks to Bunker Ales.
Bunker Ales, Amity Ales, and Corey's Ale House.
Yes, for sponsor. We look forward to the next show. And everybody, have a good night. Thank you.
Thank you.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.